And he said unto them, Wheresoever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart thence. And whatsoever place shall not receive you, and they hear you not, as you go forth hence, shake off the dust that is under your feet for a testimony toward them, unto them, against them. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and they told him all things whatsoever they had done, and whatsoever they had taught. And now look at Luke chapter 22, verse 35. And he said unto them, When I sent you forth without purse and wallet and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, Nothing. And he said unto them, But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet. And he that hath none, let him sell his cloak, and buy a sword. For I say unto you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he was reckoned with the transgressors, for that which concerneth me hath fulfilled. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we're thankful that you have so concisely given us the life of thy Son. Who would think that the greatest one who ever lived, the unique one, all that you want us to know about him at this time, is confined within the covers of these gospel pages. We thank you, our God, that you've given us this much. We confess it is small, and we would want more, but we confess, our God, that with the little that is there, our understanding is small and our comprehension of it is even smaller. But we've read it tonight, and we desire to understand about it. Because we not only want to know what must I do to be saved, but what must I do after I have been saved. We remember what Paul said, Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. What wouldst thou have me to do, Lord? So, our God, from this portion tonight, we pray that we may learn somewhat of what thou wouldst have us to do. We thank you for the blessing of the day, for the fellowship of the saints, for a day in thy courts which is better than a thousand, the remembrance of thy Son, and taking us through the day, enabling us to be here, Father, and with what strength we have to spend it with the people of God, around the Word of God, in this gathering place for the people of God. So let us not be disappointed. We know that if you build, if you keep, then all shall be successful. But without you, Father, and without your Son, we can do nothing. So look upon us and supply the things that are needed, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. On their own. Up until now, whenever the disciples had done any work for the Lord Jesus, it was strictly in association with him. Because there were two periods in their lives. First of all, their feeling him out, and then his choosing them, and having been chosen, he chose them that they may be with him and that he might send them forth. So understand, he first wanted to train them before he sent them out, lest, as concerning the king, let me go and carry the king a message. Well, what do you have to say? I have nothing to say. Well, stay still until you have something to say. The Lord Jesus wanted to prepare them before he sent them forth. But this is the marvel, that if you read from chapter 3 to where we read in chapter 6, how little time and how few were the lessons that our Lord was able to teach them. Mostly, we have it in chapter 4 when it says that he taught them in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them as they were able to receive it. It says, but in private he explained everything to them. So however brief this period was, it was an intensive period of learning, and the Lord says, now is the time to send you out on your own. So think of that. Before, they had no power over demons. They had no power to heal. They had no power to effectually preach the gospel. But the Lord Jesus said, now I am imparting this ability to you. And when he did, they had it. Is that not a remarkable thing? The one who previously had said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And now the Lord has taken that man, has said, if you follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men. And he's prepared them, and he empowers them, and he sends them forth. So let us not be afraid if the time is brief, because the same thing happened on the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. It says concerning an elder that he's not to be a novice. Yet, the Apostle Paul with Barnabas go forth on their first missionary journey, and they preach the gospel, and the churches are established, and in just a few weeks' time, he goes back and he ordains elders in those churches. A remarkable thing. Today, I've looked at some Christians for years, and they have never developed to the point that they have the qualifications of elders, or they have the desire in their heart to be an elder, to have the overseership. A sad thing. But in these early days, evidently, things developed quickly, and Paul and Barnabas could look at them and say, yes, this man has the qualification of an elder, and they would ordain elders. And the Lord Jesus sent them forth, knowing full well that they were not fully prepared, because he said to them again and again, where is your faith? Have you not yet faith? And they came to him and said, Lord, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him. He said, forbid them not. And parents were bringing little children to the Savior, and the disciples tried to forbid them. And the Savior said, forbid them not. Allow little children to come unto me. Now that should be an encouragement. Suppose the Lord waited until all of us could infallibly and without error go forth and speak and act and behave. I guess we would have to be as old as Methuselah, and then he would send us forth, and perhaps we could do a little something for him. But he is so gracious to us, and he sends us forth, and when we make mistakes, he lets us profit by those mistakes. He tells us about those mistakes. Just as when James and John would call down fire from heaven, he said, you know not what spirit you are of. You see, they still do not know perfectly what they're supposed to do. But in the eyes of the Lord, he has sent them forth after this brief period of training, and they are on their own. So remember, if you go forth and you make mistakes, don't worry about it. I can remember when I first was saved, and it used to be that they would take young men, an older one, and they would go to places and give them opportunities to preach. And I can remember one of the first messages that I preached, and this was one of the statements, I've never forgotten it. I said, the gospel is like a pot of stew. It has everything in it. Now, that wasn't bad for a young Christian a few months old in the Lord, was it? But you look at it now, and you're so ashamed. But at least I told them that the gospel had everything. I would say now, God hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You see how beautiful that is? Because that's scripture. But it, at the first time, I was able to visualize that everything that I needed was in Christ, and perhaps the ones that I was speaking to could better understand that stew illustration, that a quotation from the Word of God. And by the way, as for the ones that we were taken to preach to, I'll tell you where they were. They were in the penitentiary and in the insane asylum. And so they may have thought that an orator was standing before them. But an older brother would take a younger brother, and we would go out and we would try. And I remember to this day, it may have been 40 or 50 years ago, we were preaching to the men on death row. And the older brother, since he came back every week, he said, "All right, men," he said, "we'll be back next week." And they said, "We'll be here." And so those were some of the experiences that we had, and they were formative years. And it used to be so good, because when you spoke with an older brother, you would prepare and know that your message was going to last 45 minutes. And then you exhausted every thought in your mind, and 5 minutes had transpired. And then you would go and sit down, and the older brother would get up and correct any mistakes that you had made, and then fill in the rest of the time. So, if you are worried about doing anything for God, take courage and heart from the way that our Lord dealt with his own. I want you to understand this, lest you should say, "Why are you telling me about serving the Lord?" Because these are apostles. I'm not an apostle. The Lord hasn't sent me forth. That is valid, and I will accept that. But this is what you find, that in addition to the 12 that we read about in Mark 6, you will find that in Luke chapter 10, he sent 70 others as well. You say, "Well, they were special ones that he sent, and he empowered them to work miracles." I will accept that. But do you remember I told you last week about Legion? And Legion, who, having been freed from demon possession by our Lord, besought the Savior, "Let me go with you." And the Savior said, "No. You go home to your house and to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee." Was he sent by the Lord? You say, yes. Well, can you go to your house and to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and how he had mercy upon thee? You say, yes. Did you ever hear of Legion performing a miracle, preaching an eloquent sermon? You say, no. But what did impress the people was this. They had seen one who before was uncontrollable, who was possessed by the god of this world and legions. But now they see a man who, in the description of the Lord, was one who was sitting, clothed, in his right mind, at the feet of Jesus. And they marveled at what they saw. Some power has changed this man. And so if he spoke little, and they said, "What transformation has come over you?" And he said, "Jesus saved me. Jesus freed me." And they see a life that cannot be contradicted. Then that is testimony enough. So no, you're not one of the 12. You're not one of the 70. But you are one like Legion, and some he does not even send for, but they do it on their own. Think of that woman at the well of Samaria. After the Lord had spoken to her, she left her water pot and went into the city and said, "Come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Can this be the Christ?" That's all she said. And they came out, and they saw the Lord Jesus, and they said, "Now we believe." So this is an exhortation to us all. I'm not preaching the gospel tonight. I am telling you that you are to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And there is no such thing as the clergy and the laity. We are all ambassadors for Christ, and we found that especially those like Paul and Barnabas, but at the same time, those like the 70, and those like Legion, and those like the woman at the well of Samaria, and you and I as well. So, next week, you can go to your house or your friends, or anyone that you meet, and witness to them. Now, let me encourage you, because I told you about when I was first saved, coming back to my hometown, and I told you a few of the things that happened, but when these go forth, evidently they would make mistakes, and if they happened to go to Bethsaida, from where some of them were, and witness, then people would say the same things concerning them that they said concerning the Lord Jesus. But still, they went forth and did what they could with what power they'd received from the Lord. And I can remember when I went back to Raleigh at the first, I was witnessing and I spoke to one of my best friends and I said, have your father to come out to the gospel meeting when I was preaching. And his father came out and he and his father sat there and listened to me and then his father went out. And so at that time, being unwise, I asked the question, what did he think of my preaching? And he told me bluntly, my father said he thought you were insane. I remember speaking to a gambler, Stuart Bragg, a notorious gambler, out at the golf course. And I went up to him and I said, do you know that if you come to the Lord Jesus just as you are, come to him, acknowledge your sin, and believe in him as your Savior, he will save your soul and you'll go to heaven. And he said, you're out of your mind. And so, this is what happens, but it makes no difference. You see, if they had that treatment, when the Lord went back to his own hometown, so if you see your friends and relatives, tell them, but live a life that is above reproach, and something will be done by the Spirit of God. And so he sent them forth. Now, this other encouragement, I wonder if you are able to work with anybody. It says that we are workers together with God, and Paul speaks about my fellow workers. And at first I thought that the Lord had just sent them out two by two in Luke 10, the 70. But you'll find that though it isn't mentioned in Matthew and Luke, you'll find that here, again, he sent them forth by two and two. And as the 12 are listed in Matthew 10, they're listed this way. The 12 are Peter, Andrew, and it says Peter and Andrew, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanean, and Judas Iscariot. Each time, it puts two of them together. And so, if you take it that way, then in Matthew 10, these are the two that were together. I know that James and John were together. They were called the sons of thunder. But now, later in the book of Acts, you'll find that Peter is with John. And they are the ones who, when they preach, their enemies see their boldness, and they take knowledge that they've been with Jesus. But they went out in twos. Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Silas. You will find that the servants of God went forth in twos. And it used to be that way at the old meeting in Raleigh. I remember that those from Canada would come down, and quite often there would be two of them. And the messages went on an hour or more. You never expected to get out on time. But he sent them forth by two and two. And Ecclesiastes 4 tells us just why that's such a good thing. It says two are better than one because they have a good reward. Because if they fall, one is able to lift the other up. And we can appreciate this from recent weeks. It says, and if it's cold, if they sleep together, they can keep warm. But if you don't sleep together, then you're cold. And it says, if somebody come against you and prevail, it says, two can prevent the success of your enemy. So, Christ set them out by two and two. And this is what I know, and you examine your life. When you've been alone, and no one was around, and you were in a distant city, have you ever thought or done things that you would not have done had I been there with you? You say, yes. And had you been with me? Yes. And so, we have a check on one another when we go out with others. And at the same time, we can see how the other brother is doing, and he can see how we are doing. And so there was wisdom in the Lord sending them forth by two and two. And what is so beautiful is this, that at the end of their mission, it says they came back and told the Lord Jesus all that they had done and all that they had preached. And it's such a lovely thing. If you love the Lord, and if you're interested in saving souls and building up the saints in their most holy faith, if you are able to find someone who will listen to that, sit down and listen to you tell the way that you explain the truth, the challenges they gave to you, and the way that God enabled you to answer that, the difficulties that you encountered. But I wonder if any of us have things that we can go and tell a friend about that we've done for the Lord or that we've spoken for the Lord. And do you have a friend with whom you can work? Understand that there was such a difference. Peter and Andrew, they were brothers. James and John, brothers. And then Thomas and Matthew, you have all of these. And then think of the partner of Judas Iscariot, the partner of Thomas. They have different dispositions, and yet the Savior sent them out. And so part of the Christian life is learning how to get along with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That is a difficult thing. Now, I'm thinking of this, the way that they were sent out at that time, the reason I read to you from Luke chapter 22 is to show you that this is the way they were sent out at the first. Some would say, that's the way we are to go out today. The Savior said, but now, and he abrogates what he said in Mark 6 and in Luke 9 in Luke 22. You must understand that. He says, now when you go, take all the necessities of life that you think you may need without being one that casts off dependence upon God. And so if you go forth and you think that you are holy and you are spiritual by disobeying the Lord in Luke chapter 22, it's not glorifying to the Lord. It's dishonoring to the Lord. And you cannot expect him to provide for you miraculously what he did in Mark 6 when he's told you that he's not going to do it anymore. I assure you this. You realize that I've almost been serving the Lord as a commended servant for 40 years. And I went out in a way similar to what he told them in Mark chapter 6. It wasn't that I didn't do and wouldn't do what's in Luke chapter 22. I didn't have anything, and so I had to go out, as it was in Mark chapter 6. When I was going down to Goldsboro, I did not have an automobile. I stood out on the highway, and I thumbed a ride down to Goldsboro. On occasion, one man would lend me a vehicle, and I would drive down. On other occasions, I would catch the bus. I remember to speak to them about 30 minutes. I would catch the bus, let us say at 3 in the afternoon, and go down, and I wouldn't get home until midnight. And so 9 hours to speak to them for 30 minutes. And so those things were necessary. And concerning the taking no money, I remember that I disobeyed that once. I remember leaving home, going to preach at Siler City when Woody Murphy was there. They called me down at the first. And I took all the money that we had, and that was 10 cents. That was all. And I took it because somebody had supplied me a car, and I wanted to have gasoline enough to get there. And I remember getting there, and then going up to the filling station pump, And I said to the man, because it wasn't self-service then, I said, could you sell me 10 cents worth of gas, trying to laugh? It was so embarrassing. The man said yes, and he put in 10 cents worth of gas. And then they had me not only preaching at the chapel, but preaching out at the radio station day by day. And I went one day, and I went the next day in the car, and then I saw that the gas was gone, and I couldn't get there. And I got up and I started walking out the highway to preach. And the sister said to me, why aren't you driving your car? I said, I'm going to walk today. She said, don't you have any gas? I said, no. She said, there's a brother here who runs the filling station. He's looking for people just like you. Go down and get all the gas you want. And so I had enough gas to get to the filling station and fill it up. And so there used to be a time when those that were commended to the Lord followed what is taught in Mark chapter 6, not because they wanted to, but because they had to. And so after 40 years, if you ask me, when you went forth trusting the Lord, having no visible means of support, lacked you anything? And my answer is, nothing. And so God has been faithful 40 years. And if the young people come to me today and say, I want to go out and serve the Lord, I would do just what our Savior did. I would tell them in advance what to expect. Because not only did he send legion, but there are others that are not even listed in a special way that he sent forth. In Luke chapter 9, we have three aspirants. And some come to the Savior and say, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And the Savior said, brushing aside all illusions, he said, the foxes have their holes, the birds of the air have their nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Let me go home to my parents, he said, leave the dead to bury their own dead. And so if a young man came and said, I want to serve the Lord in the assemblies, I would tell him just what he might have to look forward to. And then, just as you never hear of that man when the Lord told him everything that he could expect, you do not find that that man followed the Lord. And so many I've heard, even in the assemblies now, they come and say, what guarantees do I have? In all my life, I've never known such a thing as a guarantee. In all my life, I've never written and asked you to let me preach one time. I've never asked any man for anything, never told anyone of my need. And yet, after 40 years, if you ask, what have you lacked? And I say, nothing. Great is God's faithfulness. But now, when these disciples go out, it must be a difficult thing. But this was the way the Lord wanted it at first, and that is the way they took his word and they conformed to the teaching that he gave. But I'm thinking how I come now. It said, take no bread, no wallet, no provisions, and so forth. Why, I come up here to stay about 24 hours, and I have trip after trip after trip coming in from the car from the things I bring. I brought my bread and my thermos and my coffee and all of these things. I brought them. But the Lord said, that's quite all right. Now, if you can do it, you can do it. But I'm just thinking of how things used to be, and how a man would have to go out having no visible means of support. And he said, you're not even to take copper along with you. And so he was cast upon the Lord for dependence. Now this, and this would be difficult not only for the man, but also for the town that he was visiting. I wanted to read you some things from Matthew's gospel, because Mark gives us an abbreviated account, Matthew, the most elaborate account. But in it, about going to a house, it says, when you go to that city, you search out who's worthy in that city. And so you don't just go and take any house that you come to, but it says, you search out who is worthy. And under the guidance of God, you're to find one with whom you can live and who will allow you to serve God, that you might bring glory to God. And it said, stay there. Go not from house to house. Now, think of this. I have been preaching for the last 30 years, 1 to 2 months at a time in assemblies. How would you like me to come and live with you 2 months at a time and not go anywhere else out of your house? Do not answer that question honestly. But I went to Canada, and there was one family, had 3 boys. They said, come and stay with us. And I stayed with them 2 months every year, year after year. And now their sons call me Uncle John. They profess faith in the Lord. They allowed me to perform marriage when they get married. And I stayed there 2 months at a time. And the only reason I ever stopped was they wanted me to become the pastor there. And I said, no, that's not in my interest. And so I stopped. And I used to go to Cleveland, Ohio, and stay a month at a time. And there was a brother there named Cam Beatty. And he was as strange as I was, but we got along beautifully together. And I would go and stay in his home for a month and never go to any place else. And it worked out well. And why did I stop going to Cleveland? He died and nobody else would have me. That was the reason. So what I'm saying is that much has to be taken into consideration, because you can't have some people in your home and endure them that long, and God would not have you to. But at the first, think of this great privilege, just as of Lydia, just as the women, just as she in Acts chapter 16, after she had trusted Christ as Savior, she said, if you counted me faithful, come to my home. Now, I wonder if you know anything about hospitality without grudging. One meal, by some, never for years. I've gone to some places for years, never been invited out by these people. They would say, well, it may be that you're so popular, never have time. There's no room for you to be invited. Well, perhaps that's so. But some of us just say, hospitality without grudging, or that's something that's foreign to me, but that's something that is a responsibility of us all. And so if you're afraid of having someone for one meal, think about someone coming for a month or 2 months at a time, and you say, I'd better serve him one meal so that at least I can do my part. This is what God expects of us. Now, this is the sad thing, that when one went to a city, the Savior anticipates their rejection as well as his rejection. This is what would be so hard for someone to come and ask me, I want to serve the Lord. Would you send me forth to serve the Lord? I do not know, thinking back over what happened to me, that I would send the young people out to serve the Lord unless it were definitely of God. But here is the Savior. He knows what's going to happen to him. And he said, you go. He sent them forth. He understands. And having sent them forth, they come back and they rejoice. But there are some, like John Mark, who go forth and then they come to a difficult time in their lives and they turn around and go back. It doesn't mean that others should not go because of that. But you be sure that you consider the enemy that's coming. Consider the tower that you're building and see if you have that strength from God. Because if not, if you go forth, you'll be like John Mark, and ever so many years shall pass before you'll be able to serve the Lord acceptably. So here they are, and they're sent forth by two and two. And they have to find the house. And the sad thing is this. The Lord said, if they will not receive you, if they will not accept your message, then you shake the dust off of your feet for a testimony against them. And the Lord tells you the solemnity of your witnessing to those in your neighborhood, the city to which he sends you, the solemnity, because if you try to witness to them, and it is an out-and-out rejection. Please do not just immediately shake the dust off your feet. But if there is, the Lord says, shake the dust off your feet. And he said, in a coming day it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for them. Think of that. There was a person who had an opportunity to hear the way of truth, to accept the way of truth. and God has sent you, not his son, but he sent you, and you go light into the home. And they will not have you in the home when they hear the message that you're preaching. And they say, out, I want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And the Savior himself said, if that happens, you shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So what does it mean? It means that some people are not going to be saved. And you are to acknowledge that. You're not to love everybody and say, oh, he may be saved. There are some that you cast off, that you renounce. Why? Because you've shaken the dust off your feet. And this, concerning the Lord, knowing what he's sending people for, to endure, in the church at Smyrna, he tells them there, he said, behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, and you shall have a tribulation of 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. And so you think of those that God has sent forth, and he knows what's going to happen to you. But he does not say, I'm not going to send you because of these hardships. I'm going to send you telling you about those hardships before you go forth. And then at the end, not only can you confess the faithfulness of God, but you can say with Paul, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed toward us in that day. This is what God expects of us. And so they go forth and they preach. They preach that men should repent. Now, a word about what they preached and what we are to preach. Had you read in Matthew, you would have found that their preaching was exclusive. You're not to go to the Gentiles. You're not to go to the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was at that time. Now, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. But at that time, their preaching was restricted and they obeyed the Lord. So he sends them forth, and he sends them forth knowing what is going to happen to them. And he says this, and what is so interesting is that their count of the sending forth of the 12 is not in the Gospel of John. Only at the very last does he send them forth. He says in the prayers of the Father, as you have sent me, I have sent them. And then in chapter 20, when he is risen from the dead, he says, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So they are sent forth, and he knows what they're going to endure. And he says, you be faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. This is the promise that he gives to those that are going to faithfully serve him. And our Savior expects us to obey whatever the cost. And so we think of our lives and we say, well, O Lord, I know what you've done for me. What in turn have I done for you? And so think now at Smyrna, be thou faithful unto death. Think in Hebrews about their suffering, but it said you have not yet resisted unto blood. And then, if you want to see a catalog of sufferings, you may find it in 2 Corinthians 12, when the Apostle Paul lists all the things that he suffered for the sake and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think of it that way, you think that our sufferings are nothing compared to those in the past, and you look at sufferings and the hardships of life as a Christian in this light. It says in Philippians 1:29, for unto us it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Think of that. We are boasting about Christ suffering for our sake. And now he says, I'm going to give you this great honor. I'm going to let you suffer for my sake. Now, I know you thank him for suffering for yours. Have you thanked him for the opportunity of your suffering for his sake? That's something that is given to us. And it says that when they were beaten in the book of Acts, they went forth rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the Lord. And so here is a mission that the disciples are sent
forth and the Lord expects us to fulfill that mission.
Now, there's so much more, but just remember that the time comes that after how much training you have had, if it's ever so small, God is going to send you forth and go forth trusting God for all the rest. Trust Him for the words. Trust Him for the sustenance of life. And at the end, He will say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let us pray. Our Father, we rejoice that Your Son has dealings with men. We are thankful that, as You know our frame, You understand that we're dust, so does Thy Son. We are thankful, our God, that knowing our failings, our shortcomings, You still are prepared to use us. And so we pray that we shall take You at Your word. If we have not everything that we think is necessary to go and speak to people, and our Father, if we have not all the provisions, the material provisions of life, and yet You tell us to go, let us be willing to do that, knowing that those who have gone before us, and the Lord said, when I sent you forth with nothing, did you lack anything? And they said, no. Let us remember that Your faithfulness is great, we pray. So, our God, we thank You for what Your Son has suffered, and we thank You for Your grace being sufficient as to what we shall suffer for Him. Help us to be good, those that are sent forth to do the will of God, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.